Welcome, everyone, to Energize Your Success. I'm Lisa Michaels, the president of the Natural Rhythms Institute. And this particular program is really exciting because for the first time ever, I'm bringing together 8 women who have been in natural rhythms for a very long time. They've been working with the rhythmic forces, and part of what they've done then is go on to not only work with the forces in their own lives, but they are beginning to take the teachings out into their particular profession and area of specialty by becoming a licensed and certified natural rhythms expert. And it's really thrilling. We have a book, a collective book coming out this October, and I'm just so excited about not only the book and the experience that I've had with these experts, but for each of them bringing their expertise further out into the world. Tonight I have the absolute amazing good fortune to be talking with Judy Keating. Judy's been, we were talking before we got started tonight, she's been in natural rhythms and connected to these teachings since 2000. And she's just, so that's 11 years, that's amazing. And Judy holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in human resource management. She has 27 years as a professional in both profit and nonprofit organizations. She's worked with both social services and human resources. She's spent close to half of her life in personal growth and has been active in group facilitation for the last 16 years. She's been trained as a life coach by Martha Beck, renowned author, life coach, and columnist for the Oprah Magazine. She's been trained by Michael Trotta and Martha Beck in nature-based coaching, a form of life coaching that uses the big medicine of the natural world in order to bring people to their core truth, their essential self, their North Star. She's a Reiki master, and she's a certified creation coach, facilitator, and expert through the Natural Rhythms Institute. Welcome, Judy.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much. And I'm so honored to be with you and anyone who's listening tonight or who listens later on the replay. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to learn a little bit more about me and certainly about natural rhythms and what the elements have to teach you.
Absolutely, because they always do have whatever is next. And to me, that's one of the most amazing things about them. And also, it's pretty amazing that no matter what direction you're going in, they can support you, whether it's really directing your own personal forces of creation toward whatever you want in your personal life, or it's actively helping you creationally in your business and to take your business to the next level. So I've already said, you know, you and I have been connected for 11 years, and you've been really actively working with the elements for that time. So I want to know, like, you know, what are some of your core important pieces about your work with natural rhythms and the elements? Like, what's really spoken to you over the years that's kept you here and continuing to learn and grow with them?
Well, I would say, and honest, we did not check notes before we started this, but the fact that the elements and nature meets you exactly where you are, that ability for the elements to mirror back to you what it is you need to learn, what it is you need to have to grow, what it is you need to let go of, that's a huge teaching for me. That in nature and in the elements, there's a natural cycle of, you know, formation, growth, and then going away, fallow period. That's been a key, having that understanding has been key in my growth.
Tell me a little bit about why that is. I mean, like, where's that really shown up?
Well, I've had several experiences where in different jobs, for example, you know, you sometimes walk into a situation and it's a real growth experience for a while, and then it may not be what's right for you and you need to move on to the next experience. And sometimes letting go of things that are comfortable can be difficult, but understanding that natural cycle has really helped me to sort of pay attention when my natural rhythm is saying it's time to grow or change or do something different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one example. And certainly, you know, as a woman maturing, into the wisdom years, understanding all of those changes and things. There's going to be some experts talking later on in the series about this particularly, but really having an understanding and a gratitude for ourselves and how we have natural cycles and how nature helps us to understand that.
Has
been another key thing for me.
Go ahead.
Each of the elements, I mean, has some profound teaching, and with water and the power of love. I've seen the power of love work differently in my life as I mature and grow and change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had little nieces and nephews and godchildren that I love to be with and have in my life, and to watch them grow, you know, my ability to love them and how they've changed, that's grown. So the power of love, the power of upliftment with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us in these days are having difficulty with so many difficult changes, and, you know, the power of upliftment and how bringing that upliftment energy to any situation can make such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Using that power in spirit.
Absolutely.
And these are just a few examples.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, Judy, when you started, you had probably one of the biggest physical obstacles yourself toward, you know, growing, developing, stepping into what you wanted to next. The name of your chapter is actually Overcome Your Obstacles and Step Into Your Powerful Self. And I really haven't seen anybody who's done that more beautifully than you have. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about what's the core piece around your physical obstacles, and, you know, kind of how the elements have really helped you transform that.
Well, when I first met Lisa, I had recently first off, I was born with cerebral palsy, and I was born into an incredibly supportive family, and they helped me to overcome so many obstacles, you know. So let me just start by acknowledging them, because they helped me to not feel defeated by anything physically that I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So they set a very high bar for what I could do rather than what I couldn't do.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful.
And it just so happens that I was lucky enough as a child to spend a lot of time in nature. So that's very interesting and really has started my passion for nature and the elements, you know, from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in my late 20s, I started having episodes where I was falling down, and it was not normal for me to do that. And there wasn't really any diagnosis as to why that was, and it kept getting worse. And, I mean, I'm very grateful that I wasn't diagnosed with something else. There wasn't a physiological diagnosis for what was causing it, but it got so bad that I was breaking bones when I was falling.
Wow.
I broke my hand at one point. I broke my shoulder at another point. And after breaking my shoulder, it was kind of like I had to kind of give up that hard line, hold on to, you know, if I can muster through this,
mm-hmm.
Without support. So I moved to using a walker in 1998, which was a couple of years before I met Lisa. So when I joined the Natural Rhythms events, I was using a walker, and that has been the case for the last 10 years. And I just have to share with you an experience that I had with Lisa in terms of, in working with the elements for me, a lot of what I had to overcome was my own self-judgment and my own fear. feeling bad about myself because my physical body wasn't doing what I wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how I showed up
mm-hmm.
when I started with the elements. And the profound shifts that occurred over and over and over again, because my physical limitations would sort of get in my way, or I might sometimes let them get in the way,
mm-hmm.
would be met with the elements saying, no, you can figure this out, and we're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you emotional support in your environment. You know, the community of natural rhythms was so great, for example, and so I had the emotional support to feel what I needed to feel and to work through what I needed to work through. And to discover that I had a real love of coaching, which is how I ended up moving on to this other path. But my physical self kept having more step downs, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time when I went to see Lisa, I was in the shower and I couldn't stand up to get out of the shower. And my husband had to come and help me out of the shower. And I got to Lisa's, and he kind of really helped me in the room, and she could tell I was struggling, and she just sort of looked at me, and she said, you know, you could have canceled if you were having a hard time. And I said, you know what? Being here was more important to me than any difficulty I was having. And that moment right there was a moment for me to realize how much the teachings of the Natural Rhythms Institute and the elements had said, you have the power of choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In any situation, you have the power of choice about how you're going to see it, how you're going to deal with it. And, you know, it's not that I couldn't have stayed home. It's not that. It's that in that moment, my choice was this was more important.
Yeah, yeah.
So I continued to work with the elements, and I feel so honored that I've gotten to apprentice with Lisa in circles and worked with groups. And about a year ago now, things had gotten so bad that I actually had bought a wheelchair. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but I was very lucky in that I went to see a different doctor. I went to see a specialist, and he was able to direct me towards a wonderful organization in Atlanta called the Shepherd Center, which is a center specifically for brain injury or neuromuscular disorders where people are having difficulty to walk. And he said, that's where you need to go. And the years of working with the elements helped me to have a foundation of being able to step into that environment and be met with challenges over and over and over again in the last year. And that through that work, I'm now using crutches, and sometimes even with those crutches, I'm able to pick them up and walk.
Woohoo!
So I firmly believe that the inner work that I did through working with the elements and through learning more as a coach and through all of the certifications and programs that I've participated in gave me the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wherewithal to be put into a boot camp, if you will, of sorts, and challenged beyond what I thought I was capable of. And, in fact, the therapist would tell you that they were not sure I was going to get off that walker. There were times when they did not think that was going to happen, and then all of a sudden these quantum leap forwards started to happen. And they were as amazed as I was. And, you know, it's going to require physical work for me the rest of my life to maintain this level of functioning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm achieving what I'm achieving because of work that I did on the inside that manifested on the outside.
And that I just want to really highlight that because it is so important. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and I want to highlight this part too, because sometimes when you're doing a lot of deep inner work, it can look like on the outside things are actually getting worse before they get better because you're in the transformational process.
And I can't agree with that more than, I mean, it just so happened that one of the things that I learned from Martha Beck as part of this wonderful training that I did with coaching with her is something called the change cycle. And, you know, as a coaching tool, I use it all the time for people, and I think it's a great thing, especially in today's world where there's so much change,
mm-hmm.
for us to understand that there's an actual change cycle that's mirrored in nature. And
yep.
if you think about a butterfly
yep.
as an example,
yep.
but if you think about it, that change cycle really has four parts.
Yep.
And the first part is really there's a catalytic event, something happens, and you sort of feel like you're in death and rebirth.
Yep.
And it seems like everything is falling apart,
yeah.
that nothing's ever going to be the same. And unfortunately, that's the truth. Nothing
that's
will
right.
ever be the same.
That's right.
Good news and bad news.
Right.
Nothing will ever be the same.
Right.
And then there's, once you go through that total dissolution, like a butterfly,
yeah.
then you work on rebuilding in what Martha calls phase two, are dreaming and scheming.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, I was doing a combination of death and rebirth and dreaming and scheming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lisa can tell you how many conversations and things that I did in natural rhythms, including dance. I cannot highlight that enough. No matter what your physical capability is, moving your body is integral to your moving forward.
Yep.
And, I mean, if anybody can highlight that, it was me, because I not only learned to move through the dance, and I was trying other physical things. It wasn't like I was not doing anything. I tried many, many different avenues of health, trying to do different health solutions, you know, and trying different things, but I just hadn't found the right fit, which actually I moved into what's called the hero saga, which is that's the part where you think, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm never going to do it. It's,
yeah.
This is getting worse, you know, from
yeah.
the hero saga, this is getting worse, and it's never going to get better.
Right.
But there was something in me that said, I can't give up.
Yep, yep.
And it was that I can't give up, supported by some incredible family, wonderful spouse, I can't give up, that said, okay, I want to try something else. So I found the right fit a year ago, and this last year has been, you know, moving from the hero saga to what's called the promised land, which is where in square four you sort of get it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm relearning to walk again, and some days it feels like, oh, I might have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this change cycle is really important to understand, because
mm-hmm. it is.
With the complexity of our lives today and the constant bombardment of change and information and different things that we have, it's so important to honor the fact that you have to go through all the parts of the change cycle before you can get where you need to go, and that different parts of your life are going to be in different parts of the change cycle.
Yep.
That makes
yep.
it a little more challenging.
Yep, that's right.
You may be an accomplished professional looking for a relationship.
Yep.
You may be an empty nester mom looking for a new career.
Yep.
So there's many different ways that it can outpicture for people. And you know, using the body movement metaphor and using the power of dance, even someone like myself doing the work and doing this work with natural rhythms and with the coaching and with everything, there's an integration that occurs when you move the body. And it occurs for everyone, no matter where they are,
mm-hmm.
and no matter how much they can move.
Yep.
That moving the physical container actually helps you to integrate information, brings about clarity of mind, and helps you to feel more present to what's happening right now. With all that's occurring in our world, we have a tendency to either what's called, a friend of mine has this phrase, and I love it. It's called, we either pasteurize or futurize.
That's right.
We live in the past, Or the future.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to stay present with what is right now because there's this constant thing about worrying that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
For us. So, that's a general overview of the change cycle and how it helped me to understand what was happening, even though the change looked like it took 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and there's one of the things that's true, too, is that there's also plateaus of change. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get to a certain point and you experience some success with that particular point, and then, you know, if you're driven internally, it's like, okay, now what do I need to learn next? You know, we don't stay in one place. So wherever we're going and whatever we're manifesting and creating, you know, there's this place of nextness, which always keeps you in the learning curve in some way or another, if you're growing.
Right. And you know, I think most of us want to be moving in that direction. We
mm-hmm.
want things that we want to move towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, so Judy, I love this piece. You know, certainly it's been my experience and my experience as a facilitator for so many years that the inner part is so important, and the inner journey, this way that influences the outer, and then the outer influences the inner, this like movement back and forth between those. And, you know, you've called yourself an inner life coach, and I love that. So I just want to know, like, for you, like, why did you describe yourself like that? Like, what's important about that to you?
Well, I think that the one thing that I discovered along this journey was that my relationship with myself and relationship to self as a water teaching affects everything. So I wanted to specialize as a coach assisting people discovering what they believe about themselves and whether that's of service to them and how they might shift that to really get to know themselves because, you know, in a very esoteric and real way, we're the only person we spend our entire life with.
That's the truth.
and that just has really struck me. Like, it's not that I disliked my company before, but
mm-hmm.
I just really have come to enjoy that introspection, that
mm-hmm.
time that comes with really getting to know who you are and
mm-hmm.
where you want to go and how you want to get there and who you want to be with and just that clarity, like that clear, clean,
mm-hmm.
and current that we talk about with water.
Yep.
Having that relationship with yourself where you know yourself and you like yourself.
Right.
I think so many people have such a difficult time with who they think they should be.
Yes.
And who they're not and who everyone else is telling them to be and society and all this. So I really wanted to work with people. You know, I think I'm pretty equipped to work with people that might have physical challenges in their life, but more importantly, with any person who feels stuck or is not where they want to be, I would want to work with them on their inner realm, the way that they feel, the way that they think, the way that they act towards themselves, because it's that mirror from the inner to the outer that will change everything.
You know, I can't tell you how many people, when you sift down to the core, how much of the time that is like the core issue with whatever it is they're dealing with. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, I've seen it. It's so important. Beautifully said. Just beautifully, beautifully said. So the results that somebody gets, and I love it. Louise Hay talks about that if she only had one thing that she told people to do, it would be add more self-love, and that's
mm-hmm.
going to change everything.
I can't tell you. I mean, I walked the journey, and I know it to be true at a very core level because I didn't have a great deal of self-love.
Yeah, yeah,
And so it's not from a place of, oh, I'm great at this. It's a place of, I've been there, and I continue to walk the journey.
Right.
That I really, that's where I feel called to be of service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And you know, if there was really only one thing that we did, stopping that place internally where we beat ourselves up for the long list of what's not.
Exactly. It's all about focus. Another great teaching of AIR, you know. What are you going to focus on?
Right. The small or large celebrations that, you know, of anything that you've accomplished, or of, you know, appreciation for yourself, or are you going to focus on, well, I didn't do this or this or this or that, or I'm not good enough for that? I mean, can you even just feel how it's even saying that? The energy just goes, it just crashes immediately.
Well, and then you wonder, why do I have trouble getting up in the morning? Why can't I have more energy to do the things I want to do?
Right, right.
You know, and that's another area that I really coach people on. In my chapter, I talk about the fact of, you know, what if we as human beings treated our energy like a precious resource? You know, we talk a lot about our energy, you know, our gas conservation and energy from the outside, but we don't really spend a lot of time going, huh, I have energy and it's a precious resource and I get to determine how I use it. And am I going to use it to beat myself up, or am I going to use it to celebrate myself, or am I going to be discerning in choosing what I spend time with and who I spend time with?
Yeah, yeah. I love that term, a precious resource, because it's a truth.
And we only have a limited amount of energy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I, in the past, have tried to act like that's not the truth.
Right.
I've overcommitted myself. I've done things because I felt like I had to.
Yep, yep.
And that's not a motivator to do anything.
No, it's not. It's truly not. And when you do something out of that place, it leaves you feeling even more drained.
Yep, it does. So another thing that I work with people is the real understanding that rest is a human necessity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And rest doesn't look like multitasking.
Right.
They're not to be confused.
So give people some tips for deep rest.
Well, I have, as Lisa knows me, she knows I have a little bit of sense of fun about things sometimes. One of the greatest tools for rest that I found, and I found this at a family event. It was really great. My family came to visit, and it was in the winter, so we were inside and stuff. And we ended up having a lounging competition.
Oh, I love it.
Like, you know, who can be the most, like, relaxed, lounging, like, let's get into this now. Come on, this is serious business here. And we eventually had this competition that ended up with the away team and the home team. You know, and I say that, and I'm so glad that Lisa understands that, you know, there was a lot of lightness to it.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
So one of the things about rest is it's not an assignment.
Right.
It's a get to, you know, if you think of it, just like everything in nature, and guess what? We're a part of nature.
Right.
And nature's a part of us. We have that need to rest. I mean, that's examples. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. Animals wake and animals sleep. We need to have time when we are just down. So some of the other tools that I encourage my clients to do, and sometimes they're a little resistant, is to actually take your calendar and X off time on your calendar. if your schedule is really jammed, it can just be a couple of hours on a day. Or if you're really feeling adventurous, you could do a whole day on a weekend, exit out so nothing can get scheduled.
Yeah.
And do that with intention, because you're actually making a date with yourself.
Yeah.
To just allow whatever wants to unfold in that day to unfold.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I'm going to be monitoring you and are you sitting down?
Right.
No, it's giving yourself the freedom to decide.
Right.
In the moment, what do I want to do?
Right.
Do I want to rest? Do I want to go to the park? Do I want to, spend time with my kids?
Yeah.
That where we do something totally unplanned and unexpected?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just another tool that I use. And another energies tool that I like to use, again, from my training with Martha Beck, is she has something called shackles on, shackles off. And she says when we are going through this fast-paced life and have so many things on our schedule, that it's a good quick check-in when you're making a commitment to go, does this make me feel like shackles on? Does it have that have-to energy, I should do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it have the shackles off feeling like, oh, this person, you know, uplifts me, makes me feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to spend time with them because they really jazz me up. And to use that terminology of shackles on, shackles off in the inner, to just do a check with yourself, to just notice where in your life you might be doing things that aren't in support of your own energy.
Oh, that's beautiful, Judy. I love that.
And it isn't about, you know, letting anybody else down or making anybody else wrong. It's about living what's true for you in your energy, about what you're going to commit to, and making your commitments finite.
Yeah.
Giving yourself more space, more room.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when trees grow in nature, they need more room to take root and to grow and to expand.
Mm-hmm.
We as human beings are the same. You know, as we get to in our 50s, we actually need more room to expand and to decide what do we want to do with our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the way throughout, if you give yourself just a little more space and a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa and I have talked on many occasions as we've tried to bring projects to fruition. Things take longer than we would like.
Sometimes they do. Actually, kind of usually.
and so, you know, and that's okay. You know, like things sometimes happen when they're supposed to happen perfectly.
Yeah,
and we don't always see that in the moment. Or when it's not happening fast enough. You know, it's down the road when we look back, we go, oh, good thing that didn't happen sooner, because if it did, then this other thing couldn't have happened.
Well, that's so true. And not only that, if it happened sooner, I wouldn't have been who I am now.
And been ready to deal with it.
Exactly. That has been very true at certain points in my life, I know for a fact, so... It would have just been too premature. Absolutely. Things take time to cook in our being.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like a good soup simmering, it's better sometimes when it cooks a while and takes time to truly develop on the inner and so that it comes out fully shaped and fully formed. Hey, so Judy, you've got some core routines that you like to help people utilize. I'd love for you to share a few of those.
Oh, absolutely. The first one you probably have heard a lot about. I mean, it's in the Natural Rhythms teachings. Oprah Winfrey does it. You know, it's in all Native American traditions. We have a holiday dedicated to it. It's gratitude. There is no better energy that you can infuse your life with than gratitude. Having gratitude for what you have multiplies what you will have. Having gratitude for what you have brings gracious blessings that you couldn't even foresee into your life. And having a gratitude core routine, a practice. You know, some people say prayers, and they have gratitude as a part of that. Some people have meditation where they're reflecting and being grateful. But having an attitude of gratitude in your life as a constant core routine will only lead to upliftment and a much better sense of solidness, which is why we in Natural Rhythms put it in the earth realm, a sense of real foundation in your life, to have an understanding of how important it is to be grateful.
Beautiful.
One of the greatest core routines I learned in my nature-based coaching is something called the sit spot. The sit spot is a practice that I have adopted in my life, and I believe it or not, I was in the midst of all this physical therapy that I told you about when I started this practice, and it added more profoundly to my life than anything I could have imagined, and that was to take a minimum of 20 minutes a day to go outside, no matter what the weather, and when I could, there were a couple days when I resisted when it was raining or snowing, to sit on the ground.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
There were some days that I sat in a chair. I have to admit, especially when I first started and it was January and February.
Yeah.
But I did go outside every day.
Yep.
Some days it was at 5 in the morning. Some days it was 10:30 at night. Some days it was 4 in the afternoon. But I went, for most of the time frame in my class, I went to the same place in my backyard.
Hmm.
With a sit spot, it's very important to have a space that you can go to that's easily accessible, that you can get to in about 20 or 30 paces from your back door or front door. But it's a routine that once you start, it's like with exercise. Once you start in the beginning, it's a little harder to do. But once you start to see the fruits of being in nature for at least 20 minutes, and they say 20 minutes because most animals or nature, it takes about 20 minutes for it to settle down back to normal when human beings enter the scene. Because when I first started, I was very clunky and very noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I continued with the core routine of the sit spot, I got, you know, much more aware of my own energy and what I was sending out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the months, I mean, we started, you know, in January, so of course it was very cold, January, February, March, it starts to get a little better. But by April and May, I was having experiences where birds and animals and everything were coming much closer to me.
Mm.
And just being aware of what your thoughts are when you're out there. Like when I was out there, some days when I first started, it was like, oh, it's cold. Oh, I don't want to be out here. But learning to listen to what comes up for you in that quiet space of being in nature.
Yep.
Just an essential thing. And we had a wonderful journal that we worked with that asked a lot of key questions about, okay, where else is this reflected in my life?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
These thoughts. And then, of course, I didn't understand the wisdom of it, but starting it in January when everything was dark, it makes you so much more aware as the seasons change and things start to come alive.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be much more present to that experience, and that experience is mirrored inside of you. Again, experiences were happening with me. I was making the progress in the physical therapy, and I was changing, and I was developing, and nature is developing all around me in this core routine. So I know everyone there might be some time limitations for people, but try it. The sit spot is one of the best core routines I've ever adopted.
Yeah.
And it has made such a difference in my life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, I know that whenever I have the opportunity and I actually sleep outside on the screen porch, the difference in my day from spending that much time in the living, pulsating field of creation, it is just absolutely remarkable, the difference. So I'm sure that doing the sit spot every day brings deep and lasting change.
And it was a really interesting thing. I have to tell you that you would think, okay, one more thing to the schedule. There's not enough time. The sit spot for me did something amazing with time. It seemed that the more committed I was to doing it, the more room I had internally to maneuver everything else I needed to do. It was like I was more efficient in my day.
Yep.
I wasn't so scattered, and I didn't feel drained. I felt more supported.
Yeah, well, you're in alignment with the earth.
And you know, with being a part of the earth, which we as human beings are, and we lose sight of it a lot.
It's true. So any more core routines you want to share?
Well, there's one other brief meditation, which I don't want to go through the whole meditation, but I'll be giving you my website at the end, and I'll actually be putting this meditation up on my website soon. It's called a sense meditation. But basically, it's a way of aligning yourself with your senses in a totally new way. And it requires that you close your eyes at first and that you attune your senses to the farthest away thing you can experience and then bring the experience closer to you. Like, for example, if you closed your eyes right now, we'll just work on the ears for a second. Just notice. Try to pinpoint the furthest sound you can hear. It might be a car, it might be a bird, it might be something in the distance. And then once you've attuned to that sound, bring your sense of hearing a little bit closer. Like, what's the next layer closer to you that you can hear? It might be your kid's stereo in the background or television in another room. And then bring it another step closer. And it might be the clock on the wall, or your computer might be making a sound, or your phone might have a click to it. And then just notice, lastly, if you can hear anything else very close to you, maybe the sound of your own breath. You might even, if you listen really closely, hear your heartbeat. And that's just one sense, the sense of hearing. But taking the time to really center your senses in that type of way, using the meditation, and again, I'll have it on my website in the next few days. So I would take you through all five senses in the meditation.
That's beautiful.
But it really is an amazing core routine. I've done it outside and inside, especially when I feel really scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And can't really prioritize when we're so overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to bring myself back to center, and it's amazing how clear what the next thing is.
Mm-hmm.
After I've done this sense meditation,
that's beautiful.
These are just a couple of the core routines that nature-based coaching gives us.
Precious. So anything else that you focus on with people when you're coaching them?
Well, I have gone through a lot of things that I really focus on with people, but the most important things that I try to focus on are, you know, the energy piece, which we mentioned, what people's relationship to their self is, and then how that their relationship to self impacts their life in ways that they probably don't know. I think one of the mantras I have is that I, as a coach, one of the things that I hope to do in every person's life that I impact is to ease their own suffering. Because we cause so much suffering for ourselves, you know, in ways that we don't even understand sometimes. So there's many tools that I use to get at that in terms of helping people to see where they might be contributing to causing themselves undue pain.
Right. Beautiful. And then once that gets freed up, they have, you know, just a tremendous amount more energy available for whatever it is that they're choosing to create.
Right. Like in the promotion for the talk tonight, I talked about ways that you can help yourself at work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, feeling better about yourself certainly is going to impact your whole life, including your work experience. But another great tool that you can start using tomorrow is in conversation with people, there's a great phrase that we use in coaching, and it's called, tell me where I'm wrong. And the reason that I like that phrase, and it may seem like, oh, I'm beating myself up, I'm wrong, it's allowing the fact that we as humans don't know everybody else's story,
mm-hmm.
and we don't maybe have all the information that we need to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, inviting people to tell me where I'm wrong
mm-hmm.
invites them to have an honest exchange with you.
Mm.
It opens up the need for you to be right. It frees you up from the need to be right to say, I'm curious and want to know whether I'm right or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's a different, what's been really interesting to me is in my current corporate job, I started using this phrase, and I noticed that a lot of the people on my leadership team have picked it up in conversation.
Hmm.
That it in talking to people at all levels of the organization, if anyone in the organization has permission to tell these leaders where they're wrong,
yeah,
up front,
Yeah, nice.
It frees up some dialogue and communication.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's one tool that I wanted to be sure to mention tonight that has really made a difference for me as a coach and just in my everyday life.
Uh-huh. Well, anything else about effectiveness at work in terms of coaching tools?
Well, this is going to sound really silly, but the next thing I would tell people to do is to get a bottle of bubbles. You may not be able to do this at work, but one of the greatest tools we have at our disposal is our breath.
Yeah.
And living a high-stress life, we walk around shallow breathing all the time. And this is a silly thing to do, but it is one of the most immediate coaching tools that have helped people more than anything I've ever given them, is to say, okay, 5 minutes a day, you must go outside and you must blow bubbles.
It brings the inner child up, too, and gives them some ecstatic experience as well.
It certainly does, and when I had an assignment in nature-based coaching for a childhood passion coaching tool, I said, I have one.
That's great.
Because it does. It inspires the child in you. You can't help it.
Yeah.
No matter, I've seen people of all ages do this. And
yeah.
My own mom, I have to tell you, she's going to turn 87 this month.
Wow.
She was having some health difficulties, and it actually involved her breath. And I brought the bubbles one day, and I said, Mom, would you be willing to try? And she did. And just to watch her try and watch her face light up was one of the most wondrous experiences of my life.
Oh, that's so precious.
But the bubbles have a purpose in that in yeah. order to do the exercise, you have to breathe in and you have to breathe out. And you have to breathe in and you have to breathe out. And it's a way to do it that it sort of gets you to do it with this kind of fun.
Well, it really adds a piece of upliftment, absolutely. It's great, of soaring, you know, that like, woo, this feels fabulous. I love blowing bubbles.
And so, I mean, I know we hear about it a lot, but anything that can inspire us to breathe deeply will help us at work and will help us in our life.
Yeah,
so,
beautiful, beautiful. Anything else?
Let's see. Well, I think when we're overloaded at work,
mm-hmm.
breaking down our plans into what, again, from nature and from Martha Beck and Natural Rhythms, there is a step-by-step process to everything. And breaking down those steps to what's doable. And this is where that inner check that we talk about is so important.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a big project at work, it seems overwhelming and you have a big deadline. Finding a way to break it down into steps where you can literally check in with yourself and say, oh, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Making the steps that finite that you can go, oh, I can do that. You string several of those together, and before you know it, you have your project.
It's truly the best way to get it done. Yeah.
Because taking what's sometimes called turtle steps,
mm-hmm.
or those steps that enable you to feel like you're accomplishing something, even incrementally, is the only way to get from here to there.
Yep. That's great. So you've given us a really good earth grounded tip, a really beautiful air tip, and so many different examples of ways to use the elements. And I'd love to know if you've got anything for if somebody's facing a difficult situation, if there's something that you recommend for them elementally.
I don't know if this would be considered elemental, but my first words to you would be slow down.
Yeah.
Because when you're facing something difficult, no matter what it is, there's so many difficult things that everyone is facing. If you would just allow yourself to take it slow, that is probably the first, and it's a tip that you'll need to remind yourself of again and again and again, because we'll want to hurry up and do something about it, whatever it is. And sometimes we just need to slow down enough to practice real self-care in those situations when we're facing something really difficult.
Yeah. Well, and hurry, too, is often based in fear.
Absolutely. And, I really agree, Lisa. And our society is geared to have our adrenals and our fight and flight on all the time.
It is the truth.
And we aren't wired that way.
No.
We really weren't. I mean, the responses are there to help us in true life-threatening situations.
Yeah.
And things have a tendency to get ramped up in our life where it seems like everything is urgent.
That's right. It's so true.
And it's so when facing a difficult situation, anything that is going to help you to take it in a way that is really self-care, take it slow, practice self-care. If you're in a situation and you can, don't make big decisions.
Yes.
Unless you have to.
Yeah. Really true. Really, really true.
So sometimes when we have these big events happen, there is the necessity to experience grief.
Absolutely.
And I really encourage people to allow for that.
Yeah.
That, yes, you don't want this to be happening to you, and yes, you want to go on to the next thing. But in order to fully step into the next thing, you have to experience where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep, truly. So, Judy, you've just been so insightful tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you. And I want you to really give people an opportunity to tell them how they can find out more about your products and services and get in touch with you.
Oh, absolutely. I invite anyone who'd like a little more information, and I actually do have a free download, 7 Ways to Diminish Overwhelm. It's a PDF that you can download at www.innerlifecoaching.net. On that website, you can have the free download. There's got my contact information. You can leave me a comment. You can look at my coaching services, and they'll be, like I said, the audio I mentioned earlier will be up in the next week or so, and there'll also be some more really great services and products coming in the near future.
That's beautiful. So how was it for you in your journey of preparing your chapter for the book, and what did that mean to you? And, you know, the book's name is Nature Success System. Anything you want to say about that from your personal experience?
Well, I mean, I've been so incredibly blessed, Lisa, first to have you in my life, to be a part of the Natural Rhythms community, and to just, the chapter was a very interesting process for me, because to write about overcoming obstacles and then to subsequently and consequently and consecutively, on all levels that I just said, overcome a major obstacle in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a word for that, but I think expressing what I learned helped my journey to get what I always wanted.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I would encourage everyone on the call to look where you have lessons in life that are things that you really want to do. Doing what you really want to do, like writing this chapter for this book and becoming, you know, more recognized as a coach, was a life, you know, became a real dream of mine, you know, for the past 10 years. And I finally have, I'm taking the steps to make it happen. And consequently, my physical self is getting better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I don't think so either. Oh, it's just such an absolute joy, and I'm personally so excited, and you know, I really want to use the word proud of the amazing way that you have just brilliantly blossomed, and thank you for sharing your wisdom tonight. Really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank everyone on the call.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us. Many, many blessings, and just want to end with, remember to just let the earth support you when you walk upon her. And anything you want to add for water, Judy?
I would just say, I'm going to steal from Louise Hay. I think she'll allow it. Shower yourself with self-love.
Beautiful. And then take a deep breath into life and release anything you no longer need, and inhale all the joy that's possible for you with air. What about fire?
Allow fire to illuminate what is next for you.
Love that. And may the deep richness of spirit guide your every step. Blessings, everybody. Good night.
Good night.